Today I have a very different Sales Playbook podcast for you. I'm going to be sharing a story with you that I first shared with the world back in 2010 on my blog. And I have to tell you, I'm hoping that this story hits home with you, because as the person who lived the story, it certainly hit home with me. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. Okay, so I went into this pizzeria, and I was carrying my son, who was 6 months old at the time. And this pizzeria, I had been there many, many times. It was a local neighborhood place. And during the daytime, I never caught this guy's name. And I mean, we used to refer to him as like the pizza dude, right? Like real creative. But I feel compelled to tell you, even though the story doesn't center around this other character, there was this guy who truly was a character who worked there at nighttime. So you had the pizza dude during the daytime, and at nighttime, you had this guy that we referred to as Elvis. And the reason why we referred to him as Elvis is because, I mean, he obviously was an Elvis fan. I mean, he had his hair done up like Elvis. He had like the big glasses that he wore, and he had like the sideburns and everything else. And I'm thinking, man, when he wasn't like making like these awesome pizzas, he was probably off in Vegas, like doing some kind of, you know, Vegas impersonation act. But I have to tell you, like this, and the reason why I'm bringing up Elvis is because like he really was a character, this guy. And whenever you would complete a transaction with him, he would always say to you, "All right, have a good night." And my like habit at the time was to say, "Have a good one." And what he'd always say to you whenever you said, "Have a good one," regardless if you were a male or female saying this to him, by the way, he would say to you, "I already got a good one." Which I just, to this day, man, like I don't know why I think of this stuff. But anyway, I digress. So this story actually centers around the pizza dude. So I walk into the pizzeria carrying my six-month-old son. And we go in there, and we had called in, and I say we as if my six-month-old son was capable of calling in an order, but I had called in a pizza order probably, I don't know, like 15 minutes prior. And I got there, and he said, "Hey, you know, I hope you don't mind. It'll be a few more minutes." With that, my son is cute as ever, man. He's 6 months old. He's stealing the show. And like the pizza dude, like it becomes evident that he has this like far away look in his eyes. And he's like looking at my son, and you could tell he is off somewhere else in time, a much happier place for whatever reason. You know, ear to ear grin. And he says to me, and I'll never forget this. He said, "You know, it's none of my business, but make sure you appreciate each day of your child's life, because before you know it, you're going to have kids in your 20s like I do." Now, there was something about those words and even his tonality, and I never could really place it. It, to me, it was almost bittersweet what he was saying. I sensed a little bit of regret in there. I sensed, you know, someone who was just trying to keep somebody maybe from making some mistakes that he had made. But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but did you ever hear something, and for whatever reason, that's the day that the universe opened up and it was like, you are ready to receive this lesson? Could have been something that you heard a million times, but today, for whatever reason, that message got through to you. And this thing, man, it hit me right in the heart. You know, it just like really, like I just sensed that whatever this was it was a message that I was getting. And, you know, it's weird, man. I'm not like, you know, an overly religious person. So I don't know if this was, you know, a message kind of a spiritual nature. I don't know if this was a message from the universe. I don't know where it was coming from. But that day, I was ready to receive it. And I decided that I was going to, you know, be committed to this, that I was going to, I mean, and as parents, right? I mean, of course we appreciate each day of our child's, like, of their life. But sometimes we can get very, very caught up in things. So this advice actually was very, very timely because my world took a drastic, turn. It really changed dramatically within a year of this message from the pizza dude. I had lost my business. It was really an ugly affair. Like, I lost the business. I was heavily in debt to the tune of about 65 grand. And this is back. I mean, even now saying it, right? It's kind of dramatic, 65 grand. This was 19, you know, like, actually, I'm not going to say when it was. But anyway, it was a lot of money. And my car, both of my cars had been repossessed. And now I was working three jobs, not one. I was working three jobs. One of them was as a pressman working a night shift. I decided to go back to my roots. My early days really started in the printing industry as a pressman. I figured I'd go back to doing that. So I was running a press, but I was working 3 days a week, 12 to 15 hour shifts that went from about 8 o'clock at night until at least 8 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes, again, if I could pick up overtime, it would be 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And it was brutal. I was also, of all places, I was working in a pizzeria delivering pizza. So I guess I became kind of like the pizza dude to a lot of people. I was bussing tables in a local restaurant. So I was really, like, things really, really changed. But I made sure that no matter what, I was remaining true to that promise that I made myself that I would appreciate this child. Now, the one thing I didn't mention was that when I was saying how much my world had changed, also another child came into this whole thing. In fact, my wife was pregnant when we lost our business. So this was just a lot of change in the Castain family. And but one of the things that I did during that time is that I made sure that no matter what, with all these crazy hours and everything else that I was working, that Friday night was for my family. And I remember so clearly what we used to do. We would watch Cartoon Friday at Nick at Night, I think it was, that we watched this on. It was like Johnny Bravo and all those things. And we would have this thing that we called it the Sleeping Club. And what the Sleeping Club was, it was like, you know, it was just like a fun night, man. We'd get our sleeping bags and we'd like go into the living room and we'd make these like elaborate like tents out of sheets and we'd take all the cushions off the couch and my wife would want to kill me for the mess that I made or whatever. But we had a blast. And, you know, the next morning before I went to work, I'd make a big breakfast for the family. And I guess, like, I could bore you guys with all the things that I tried to do over the years to make sure that no matter what, I followed the pizza dude's advice, especially when another child came along. And now here I am, you know, here I am at this point in the story, a father of three. But instead of boring you with, like, all the things that I try to do over the years, I want to tell you where the story took yet another turn. One day, I found myself with gray hair in my goatee. Very traumatic. Goatee and Uncle Paul, gray hair and Uncle Paul's goatee. And I was watching this car pull up in front of my house. And I was out back smoking a cigar, just kind of loving life. Did I mention I had gray hair in my goatee? But anyway, this car pulls up, and a 24-year-old management consultant walked up to me, hugged me, and said, "Hi, Dad." And it was my son, the star of the story, other than the pizza dude, who had somehow became 24 years old and a management consultant. And it was really in that moment that I realized that the advice that some old pizza dude had like given me some like 24 years prior was in fact the best advice that I was ever given. So when people ask me, as a sales trainer and as, you know, a coach and stuff, what was the best advice that you were ever given? I think sometimes I disappoint people because I'm not giving you some, you know, Yoda-like advice that has to do with sales. I mean, seriously. I mean, but when I was in that moment and I realized, oh my gosh, man, you know, now I have children who are in their 20s. I mean, my youngest is going to be 21. Right? I mean, it's just crazy, right? We go from that six-month-old, he's now 24, there's a 20, you know, almost a 23-year-old or whatever, and, you know, we're going to have a 21-year-old in December. But, you know, it was really in that spirit, right, that this whole thing happened. And this just happened recently. And I used to do this thing on my blog years ago that I had gotten away from, that I'm hoping today it paid off, because sometimes I would have like these recollections of things, or I'd have something happen to me, and you know, it almost hit me on an emotional, and it would hit me on an emotional level, not almost, it would hit me on an emotional level, and there was just something about it that would tell me, hey man, you got to write about this, or you have to tell the story or whatever. And every time I would do it, and I'm not begging for somebody to reach out to me and say, oh my God, I'm so glad you said this, I needed to hear this, or anything else. I really, you know, you don't have to do that. I'm certainly not, you know, panhandling for a compliment. But usually when I did it, and I went ahead and I followed my gut, and let my gut have like ultimate, like editorial, like power over my blog and my podcast, I realized that it was very, very important that I did it. So it's really in that spirit that I share this with you, but also I really want to convey a very, very important message to you. It wasn't like because I'm like some like awesome dad or whatever it is, right? The real message here is that we spend a lot of time trying to conquer the world at work. We are now in the fourth quarter. I know what it's like because I'm still selling too, folks. I'm in the trenches right with you. I have never stopped selling. I am a one-man act, and I am competing in a world where there are way too many competitors. So I've got to, like, every single day, I got to get out there and sell. But what happens is sometimes we get so caught up in this conquering the world thing at work that we forget the most important part, which is also to conquer the world at home. You know, there's all these messages out there right now about hustling, which I've never been really, like, overly fond of that term. I got to be honest with you. I get it, and I'll probably lighten up, take my meds, and, like, be able to handle it eventually, but I've never been a fan of it. I've just never really liked the term. I understand the sentiment. I've just never liked that word hustling. I feel like we're doing something to somebody and maybe like screwing them over or whatever. But today, for example, on LinkedIn, there was at least two or three people that were bragging about how they were hustling on a Saturday and almost demeaning those who weren't. And I respect anybody out there who is absolutely out there doing the best they can. And also, too, I also respect the fact that there are people who have gone through what I went through years ago when you're trying to dig your family out of a hole or you're trying to create this better life for your family and you're putting in all these extra hours and doing everything that you can. But my message to you is to just make sure that even if you have to do what I did and like carve out Friday nights, right now, by the way, because, you know, my kids are like a tad older, like, I don't know, about like 24 years older than when the story first began. You know, they're no longer into Cartoon Friday, right? In fact, that the 24-year-old, my son Paul, the kind of the star of the story, he lives away from home now. And like I said, he's a management consultant, lives with two of his buddies in a really nice section of Long Island, which is where I come from, in case you can't tell from the accent. What we do now is we have Sunday dinners together, and we make sure that no matter what, I mean, there's some times where we just, like, we can't do it because other, you know, there's conflicts, but as a family, it's very, very important that we break bread together. And we've got that one day a week where we catch up. And, you know, sometimes if we have a little extra time, you know, the dinner will turn into a game night. But for the most part, we have that time together. And so that's really part of the reason why I decided to tell you this story. But there's another reason why I decided to tell you the story. I want you to really appreciate the power of a story. I almost said the power of a good story, but I just don't know if I told it really, really well. I'm certainly not going to quit my day job and become an expert storyteller. I just wanted to have this conversation with you under kind of the rules that I have, which is, I call it the kitchen table test, and talk to you like you and I are having a cup of coffee together or a beer, sitting at the kitchen table, not filled with all kinds of, you know, marketing speak and jargon and trying to impress you and everything else, just simply talking to you from the heart. But I'm hoping that this illustrated the power of a story. I mean, you know, we use stories for all different things. I mean, I just used a story to hopefully teach you something. I mean, did I? I mean, I'm hoping I did, hoping I got through to you. I mean, we can use stories to convey emotions. And I know for me as the storyteller, I have to tell you, man, I'm a tough guy. I really am. But I really had to think about this one for a while, because the last thing that I wanted to do was go on this podcast today and just, like, you know, like, break down and just lose it, man. But, you know, this one really is personal for me. And it's something that I really respect the sensitivity of what happened here, because I know that I could be telling you a different story today, one of regret, one of maybe where my son and I had a falling out over the years, one's, you know, a story where I'm looking at this and saying, oh my God, you know, 24 years have gone, and, like, you know, what the hell, like, you know, like, what did I build in that time with my family, and, you know, what kind of memories did I create with them? And also, I mean, quite frankly, you know, as a 53-year-old, realizing that I don't have a whole hell of a lot of those 24-year spans to get this shit right anymore. So that's another reason why we use stories. We also use stories to sell change. I mean, do we sell change as sales professionals? I mean, do you guys sell change? Sometimes do you have to change someone's thinking without being manipulative? I mean, sometimes, like, we have to sell change into an organization, and we have to get them to change the way that they're thinking, to embrace a new technology, a new way of doing things, our widget. But we absolutely have to use these stories to do it, because, again, what I'm hoping you experienced was a different way of somebody getting a message across to you. Because I could have came onto this podcast today, and I could have just said, okay, listen, I just want to talk to you guys. You guys have to conquer the world at home as well. And I'm sure I could have put together something that was compelling for you and a good argument and, you know, in favor of conquering the world at home. But I think sometimes a good story can be disarming. And by the way, I just want to let you guys know, that story, I don't want you to think like I made up some story. Just to make the point of telling stories, I actually, if you guys think that, you know, like I would stoop to that level, I actually first told that story on my blog in 2010. And the name of the blog post is, I think it's like Pizza Dudes, Children, and the Meaning of Life, which is what I'm probably going to call this podcast today. But either way, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about how you can leverage the power of stories, would you please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/stories. yoursalesplaybook.com/stories. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. And you know what? Instead of wishing you an incredible week ahead, I simply want to invite you to conquer the world at home this week. God bless.